gotta get there quick.
From the Director, Department of Family Care, submitting an informational report on quarterly audits of community placement facilities. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the report submitted was in response to a budget amendment which directed the family care to perform quarterly audits of community placement facilities and submit informational reports to the Health and Human Needs Committee. I did have a discussion about this with Supervisor Mayo, as he was one of the co-sponsors of the amendment and the only co-sponsor to sit on Health and Human Needs, to try to get a sense for what the supervisors have been looking for in terms of this audit. So we did have a brief conversation about the information they were looking to be presented. So what I have put together for you is some basic background, which you're all very well aware of in terms of the managed care organization, but specifically, you know, that we operate under a contract, as you know, with the Department of Health Services. We have a permit from the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, and that we have over 1,100 service providers serving over 8,000 older adults and people with intellectual, developmental, and physical disabilities. But if we drill down to the placement facilities, out of those 1,100 providers that we have, 536 of them provide residential services. So we have, there's a wide continuum of services for those providers who operate community-based residential facilities, which are group homes, 8 beds or less, 9 to 20 beds, and 21 to 100 beds. We also have what we call residential care apartment complexes, and then individuals who provide adult family homes. And those are, there's a distinction between 1 to 2 beds and 3 to 4 bed homes. And then, of course, nursing homes are in the family care benefit package. So we have a process in place for community residential placements for members. In earlier meetings, I think we went through sort of the process, so I won't belabor that. But we do have, I think, unique to us, a placement team of registered nurses who really serve as a very strong resource for all of the interdisciplinary teams in terms of going out, knowing what's available residentially, helping people make recommendations about what sort of facility suits the needs of the member. Because the interdisciplinary team puts together that plan, works with the placement team to identify residential placements. In terms of quality of those residential providers, the State Department of Quality Assurance is the state survey agency that is responsible for safety, welfare, and health of persons using health and community care providers in Wisconsin. So they do both unannounced and announced surveys of facilities. And we checked in with them, and in the absence of a specific complaint, so if no one has called with a concern, they go out about every 2 years. In some instances, those are a little less frequent, but where they do go out is when someone calls with a complaint, a concern about the quality of a group home. That's when the surveyors definitely go out. We also internally, the Department of Family Care has a quality surveyor on staff that looks at the use and the quality services that are provided by the contracted agencies. That's the individual in our department who receives notices when the State Division of Quality Assurance issues a statement of deficiency. So we close out that loop. If there is someone in the community who has a concern about a group home and the state goes out, issues a statement of deficiency or an SOD, that comes right to us electronically, so we follow up. And I can tell you just anecdotally, we have, in my opinion, taken, I think, stronger action when there's a quality concern sometimes than the state does, because we are very concerned that the services that people receive in residential facilities be of the highest quality possible. So our quality surveyor also does annual quality audits, making sure that background checks are performed, documentation of those background checks is on file, and then circles back again with our contracting staff so that if we receive a provider complaint, that we follow up on that in a very thorough and timely fashion.
Supervisor Bowen is one of the co-authors of this legislation.
I don't think so.
Yes, you were. You were Supervisor Stemper and Supervisor Mayo.
From the budget?
Yes.
Ah, okay. There we go. I was like, wait a minute. Okay. Madam Chair, I have a question about individuals that may have transitioned from that we are continuing to transition from our mental health facilities into family care. I'm wondering if they are placed in any of these residential facilities and the progress of that. And maybe we can get some numbers, possibly, of how many have been transitioned.
Okay.
Yes. Madam Chair, Supervisor Bowen.
We discussed this during agenda setting, and so Ms. Ledger is prepared.
Yeah. We have transitioned. There have been 12 people since, and it's important to make that distinction, since the downsizing was initiated, because there were people relocating from the long-term care units all along. However, if we look at from when the downsizing was announced, we have people who are living in three-bed adult family homes, mm-hmm. Four-bed, and bear in mind, with it for an individual, and this is if we look at the Hilltop facility, for an individual who has an intellectual disability, there's a requirement that that person be placed in nothing larger than an 8-bed. So that's as far up as you will see anyone moving into the community. So we have three people in 8-bed facilities, two in a 7-bed, and we have one person who moved home with his family, living with his sister, receiving supportive home care services there, and one individual who moved into an apartment with what we call supportive independent living services, SIL services. So staff people coming in on a frequency that makes sense for that individual to support them in their apartment. So we've had people move out to, I think, a good variety. It's not, everyone is not going with one provider, mm-hmm. Or to one type of setting. It's really, I think it speaks to sort of the member-centered plan part of it. It is not, family care can't be for anyone, a one-size-fits-all. Every individual who relocates from the long-term care units has a 30-day post-discharge staffing, and then they have ongoing care management by the interdisciplinary team. All of the licensed facilities that are serving members are in good standing with the State Department of Quality Assurance. We've checked on those now. Again, the State Department of Quality Assurance is going to be looking at group homes, and so it's our responsibility for those individuals who are living in their own homes to make sure that services are adequate to meet their needs. So that's where those licensed facilities are in terms of standing with State DQA. They're all in good standing.
Got you. And the chance of individuals being transitioned but returning, have you seen that as well?
We have had one individual who, because of a behavioral incident, we have to locate an alternate facility for. That's currently in the process. Other than that, for everyone that we have moved out, that is the only individual that has not been successful or who's trying to think off of the top of my head. I can't think of anyone who has even moved from this facility to that facility, so everyone else has been successful. So,
okay.
And that's including, and although we're focusing primarily on the Hilltop units, we are still moving people out of Rehab Central as well, and so those individuals that have relocated from Rehab Central, while I didn't list out where they are, they haven't moved back in either.
Gotcha. Okay, I think that's about all my questions, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from committee? All right. Good job, Ms. Fletcher.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.